It is great to be with you today, Beltway Park. I know together is scattered, but we are together in heart and spirit. And I love, more than ever, I think, one of the things I've discovered in this season, I love getting to be a part of a church that are carriers of hope. I mean, you're hearing the good news of what God is allowing us to do, and I wanted to add one more tidbit. You likely know that we have partners, people that serve for the sake of the gospel all around the world. We actually have 85 of them locally, nationally, and internationally, people who also carry hope into some very dark places. We give each one of them a financial gift each and every month to help support them in their ministry and what they do. But because of the faithfulness of God's people and what we're doing here at Beltway Park, actually in April, we gave a double gift to every one of our 85 partners around the world, because every one of them, like us as a church, are seeing increased opportunities to show the love, to show the grace, to show the hope of Jesus Christ. And I'm just so honored to live among a people who would dare be hope carriers in the midst of difficult days. See, I know the season we're living in is a difficult season in a lot of ways. And during the season, I've been asked a lot of questions. But probably the most common question I've been asked is this: what do you think God's saying to us through coronavirus? I mean, let's be honest, that's a great question. Likely, it is the most important question that we could ask during this season. But it hit me recently that it's not just through the time of coronavirus that we want to know what God is saying. Reality is, what God's saying is the question of human existence, period. And here is the incredible truth revealed to us in the Bible. Each one of us, hear me, you, I, each and every one of us can know what God's saying. And I know that's staggering to believe. But before you just diagnose me with a tired brain because of Zoom fatigue, I want you to stick with me for a minute here, okay? Because Jesus, in the 10th chapter of John, actually makes this incredible statement about the immenseness of God's heart. He said, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they in the passage is us, anyone else who would dare listen to Jesus, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." See, in the middle of all the unknowns and all the uncertainties, in the midst of the ways God may be working or not working, in the midst of all the things that cause us to doubt, the unmet expectations, even the disappointments we have with God that we talked about last week, we can know this: God is for us. Hear that? God is radically for us. He desires that we not only exist in this world, but he desires that we thrive, that we have a place of abundance. And when we are in seasons like the one we're in and we're caused to doubt that some, what we do is we turn to the cross. Romans 8 says, "What then shall we say to these things?" In other words, in the middle of difficulties, in the middle of struggles, in the middle of things that would cause us to doubt, what do we do? Well, if God be for us, who can be against us? Really, in the original language, this can be, since God is for us, who does it matter who's against us? And how do we know God's for us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with Jesus, graciously give us, notice, all things? God desires, he longs for us to have abundant life. Come on, how can we, when we see the cross, when we see the empty tomb, how can we doubt that the Father wants us to have abundant life? Jesus declared it, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." God promises abundant life. But like all the promises of God, we have to lay hold of it by faith. Like Israel of old had to put their feet in the land of promise, we too have to take our next steps of faith to walk with him, to lay hold of the promise of abundant life. And Jesus actually outlined those next steps earlier in the discourse. Back up to John chapter 10, verse 1. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." The thief and the robber that comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him." Why? "For they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow." In fact, they flee from a stranger, "for they do not recognize the voice of the stranger." Now, I understand that we in Central Texas are more cattle people than we are sheep people. Like, when we celebrate Western Heritage, and I'm really saddened that we had to cancel our celebration of that this year. I look forward to it coming back next year and being among us. We celebrate the great cattle drives of the cowboys of bygone days when they moved thousands and thousands of head of cattle to places of market. Well, shepherds in the Middle East of old, actually shepherds today, they don't drive their sheep like cattle. They actually lead them. And they don't lead them by force. They actually lead them by their voice. They lead by speaking. It's a point, an image that Jesus wants to drive deep into our soul. Jesus leads us into places of abundance by speaking. And amazingly, each one of us can know what he's saying. You see, the question we're asking, and I hope we're asking it more, what is God saying? It's really not a question about God. It's not a question about whether God's speaking or not speaking. Jesus is still speaking, I promise you. It's really a question about you and I. It's about each of us. Have we learned to hear? Really hear the shepherd's voice so he can lead us. And not just lead us, but lead us to the places of abundance that he promised. See, Jesus said in John chapter 10, eat sheep. Anyone who has become his follower has the capacity to hear the shepherd. Each follower of Jesus can, each one of us should, hear the voice of God. Now, I understand that even as I talk about hearing what God's saying and hearing about the voice of God, our natural tendency is to think we're moving into the world of crazy. That's even common for people who are Christians. And I find that pretty amazing given the fact that we easily accept that God spoke in the days of the Bible, but we struggle that he was speaking the same way today, even though the Bible declares that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and always. Many years ago, there was a TV show by the name of House that was really popular. And I didn't watch it back then, but when binge watching first became popular, I watched a lot of the episodes of House. Overall, I'll tell you, it was a very engaging, very creative show, one you could watch now. Had a good beat. It was easy to dance to. Dick, I give it a 9. By the way, that's a shout out to the old people who were flexible enough to go online and be part of services. On one show, House made this statement. If you talk to God, you're religious. If God talks to you, you're psychotic. That phrase and that idea of talking to us is what's common today. Sadly, what's common among many who sit in churches today and such. Now, don't get me wrong. I am very well aware that there are people who are mentally ill and their mental illness shows it in illusions of God talk. I have lots of stories and lots of examples. I was actually sitting with a man with a mental illness right in the middle of our conversation. He turned, looked up at me and said, God just told me to kill you. See, I'm very well aware of mental illness, and I know that there are people who have abused the idea of God speaking. They may not be mentally ill, but they've used it to take advantage of people, to do things for their own gain, and we can sometimes overreact to abuse. The church of old actually had a phrase for this. They said in the Latin, abusus non tollit usum, which in days of old meant abuse does not take away use in any form or fashion. So it's the idea of like fire. Fire can be very destructive. It can burn down houses. It can burn down forests. But it can also be very powerful in our lives. It can heat our houses. It can cook our food and things such as that. And there are gifts that God gives us that people misconstrue and people use, like his voice. But they are life-giving gifts to you and I. See, you need to hear that not all who believe God speaks today are psychotic or abusive. In fact, I'll go a step further. Maybe the most important thing I say to you today, we can never really be a Jesus follower without learning to hear God. I know that's probably setting off warning signals inside of you. You say, David, where are you getting such an idea? Well, I get it from what Jesus said. The sheep follow him for what? They know his voice. Well, how can we follow him if we don't know this? See, that's incredible. What Jesus is saying is each of us, you, me, each of us can hear his voice. It's not just for a few spiritually select people. It's not for the mystics who pray for hours or days or even months on end. I know that staggers us. Like years ago, I was in Abu Ghosh, Israel. It's right outside Jerusalem. I was at a monastery, and there was a little house over to the left of the chapel. And they explained to me that there was a lady who lived in that house that was a modern day hermit. Not in a negative way, but in a way of spirituality, that she showed herself to the outside world once, maybe twice a year. That was it. The rest of the time, she spent praying. The nuns would bring food to her. She never talked to them. She never interacted. All she did was pray, which means she might be the only person on planet Earth unaffected by coronavirus right now. Come on. Anyway, if you told me she heard God speak, I would say, absolutely, that makes sense to me. But when I begin to look at the one in the mirror and think, I can hear God speak, I begin to struggle with the staggering nature of that. And some of you are thinking right now, well, you're a pastor. You're supposed to hear God. Absolutely. But it's not because I'm a pastor. It's because I'm a sheep. And sheep know his voice. Hear it. Every sheep has the capacity to hear the voice of the shepherd. But it doesn't happen automatically. You see, each sheep also has to learn the shepherd's voice. See, when we become a follower of Jesus by asking him to forgive our sins, we surrender our life to his leadership. The scripture likens us to a newborn baby. The Bible says, Jesus said, John chapter 3, that we are born again. Babies are born into the world with amazing capacities to learn language. See, we have these 85 partners around the world that I told you about, and because of that, I often get to go into other cultures and such. I get to encourage and sometimes share on leadership principles and things such as that. And often I open up with a joke. And here's the deal. I'm going to tell you the joke, and you're not going to think it's funny. But I promise you, it crushes in every other culture. Because I look at the audience, and I just simply say, hey, what do you call somebody who knows three languages? And they look at me a little confused, and they say, trilingual. And I ask, well, what do you call somebody who knows two languages? And they've got it now, and they go, bilingual. And I say, what do you call someone who only knows one language? And before they can respond, I say, an American. And they bust out laughing because they have these things in other cultures that they're just shocked that we only know one language. Now, don't mishear me. I am in no way saying that we have a problem with our education system. It's not our education system that created it. It's actually the makeup of our society. For a long time, I've wished that I could speak another language. Not enough to actually do anything about it, but I wish I could learn one. But truth is, I am rarely in a place to use a second language in a consistent basis. I just look back on my last year and all the travels I did. I found out I could use Spanish for about 6 days at one time. I could have used Polish for about a week. Polish is a really hard language. I could have used Slovak for 2 days. I could have used French for 2 days. This is all last year. And I could have used one of the 250 dialects that are found in Ghana, West Africa, and I can't remember what the name of it was. See, necessity doesn't force us to learn a second language, but in most other societies, the makeup of the society forces them to learn more than one language. I mean, they need 2, 3, 4, sometimes 5 languages to actually be able to operate. And you think that must be a great burden. It's really not. They just learn them early. I met a family who was in Israel. He was a Russian immigrant. She was an American immigrant. They married. They had children. So he spoke Russian to the children. She spoke American English to the children. And they both kind of mixed in some Hebrew while society around them also did Hebrew. And by the time they were the age 5, they were trilingual. They were fluent in all the languages. They could flow seamlessly back and forth between the three, and they knew the differences between the three. See, it's amazing how God wired us to be able to flow in different kinds of languages. Well, see, the parallel is when we're born again, the Holy Spirit puts in us the ability to communicate with the Father. If I may say, at the possibility of sounding too casual, we have an amazing ability to learn the languages of heaven. Each one of us, let it sink in. Each of us can know what the Father's saying. I mean, come on. How incredible would it be to know more and more of what the Father's saying right now? See, I really can't think of anything that would be more important than that. And it seems like there's been an opportunity afforded us in the midst of this difficulty. Because what's happened is coronavirus has put a pause on a lot of life. And what you hear some people doing, and I think it's a wise use of a negative situation, but what I hear a lot of people doing are reevaluating priorities. They're finding themselves doing things like spending more time with family and focusing in on things that they had that they took for granted. And they're reassessing, maybe when we move beyond this, how we live life. Now, as an aside, I understand that a lot of people, because of what our governor has said this past week, they're wanting to know when Beltway Park might physically reopen its campuses and we might do worship together. And I want you to know this. I want you to know that right now our elders are really praying into that and trying to discern the directive of the Father on that. And as soon as we know the next step, we will communicate that to you. It might be in next week's service. It might be via our social media or whatever. I'm just going to ask you to pray for the wisdom of heaven. To be on our eldership as we try to navigate this. We really want to be honorable to our society. And I'm just going to ask that everybody extend a lot of grace to each other. I mean, these are tough days and tough decisions to be made. And we are doing our best, as are all the other leaders of our land, trying to really do what we need to do. See, I know a lot of us are using the season to evaluate these priorities and such. And right now, I would just ask us to consider what could be more important than recognizing the reality that what we really need, above anything else, to know more and more what God is saying, not just during coronavirus, not just during COVID, but during the entirety of our lives. And so what we're going to do over the course of the next few weeks is we're going to talk about the obstacles that stand in the way of us really being able to know what God's saying in life. And we're going to learn the various ways God speaks, because the Bible we have actually indicates that God speaks in multiple and various ways. And we want to know what those are. I cannot think of anything that would be more important to the season we're in than knowing how we can hear what God might be wanting to share with us. And so I can't encourage you strongly enough to be with us wherever we are, whether we are in a physical campus for part of it, whether we're online the entire time. Stick with us. I know online is not the same. I know it's more difficult, but I'm telling you, we need this season. And I want to encourage you to stick with it. Maybe you need to invite someone to join us. See, the truth is, if you are a sheep, you're probably already hearing the shepherd more than you think you are. You just don't recognize it. But at the same time, each sheep can mature in hearing the voice of God. Hear me, we can get better at hearing the voice of God. We can expand our abilities. We can expand our capacities. Years ago, my wife and I read a book called The Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman. I mean, it's become like a icon of a book. It's expanded in so many ways and so many areas, and such a great book. We actually read the book twice because we were a bit confused. On first reading, our love language, it seemed like it wasn't among the five. Apparently, Dr. Chapman did not think that sarcasm was of immense value to a marriage for some reason. I don't know. But anyway, we read the book, and we read the book about a decade into our marriage. So we'd been married 10 years. We loved each other, probably loved each other better than we had ever loved each other. But that love and the ability to love each other could still mature. It could still get better. And actually, I'd say we're about to celebrate in August our 35th wedding anniversary, and we can still get better at loving each other. Well, the means by which God speaks to us, they really are love languages. And just like we can grow in our ability to love others as we hear God, as we communicate with God, we can grow in our ability to love Him. Like, one of the most common ways God speaks to us, I would suggest maybe the most common way outside of Scripture, is through this thing called an impression. We'll talk about it in a couple of weeks. An impression is just a whisper in our spirit. Just a whisper. God loves to speak in whispers. Why? Why does He love to speak in that way? Whispers are about relationships. Whispers are about closeness, which amazingly means what the Father wants from you and I is closeness. See, according to John chapter 10, verse 4, the shepherd knows each of us by name. You're not a number. I am not 7,137,122 among 7.6 billion people on planet Earth. I'm David. And actually, according to the revelation, there's another name that He calls me by. Another name that is only known to Him a name that he is going to reveal by me. See, the shepherd knows us each by name, and the ways in which he speaks are designed to draw each one of us closer to him. I mean, come on, you have to admit, that idea is staggering. Staggering that the God of the universe, the God whose word spoke into existence all of reality, would speak to us in such a way that we would draw closer to him, and that somehow he would find joy in us drawing closer to him. It is so staggering that we think it's an impossibility. And nothing could be further from the truth. Each one of us, his sheep, can not only hear what he is saying, but we can mature in our ability so that more and more, day by day, we will know clearer and clearer what the Father is saying. We can mature. I mean, think about it. We can learn in the midst of all the noise that's going on in our world, we can learn to discern and hear clearly the voice of God. We do it all the time. We have the ability to pick up a specific voice right in the middle of all sorts of noise. I remember as a young man playing basketball. We had a really good basketball team in the town I grew up in, so we had lots of fan, we had lots of noise, we had a band that played. We weren't much of a football school. I mean, we had a football team, we weren't really that good. But we had a basketball team and we were really good, so the whole town centered on that. So we would have several thousand fans at a high school basketball game. This band would be playing, noise would be going on, and I could be on the court, and I could hear my dad's voice. I could hear my dad above the crowd. I could hear my dad above the band. I could hear my dad above the coach yelling at me, and I gave him lots of reasons to yell at me. But I could pick up my dad's voice. You got to understand, my dad's not a loud man. My mom's not loud. I don't know where I got loud. There's a recessive gene somewhere, and there's a loud McQueen or a loud Holly somewhere out there. But I had this ability to be able to discern his voice. I used to coach youth sports when my kids were young, and I would have a parent meeting every year. And I would meet with the parents because I wanted to ask the parents not to coach their kids from the stands, which is really ironic because I did a lot of coaching of my kids from the stands. And I would look at the parent and say, your children will hear your voice above mine. Their ears are trained to your voice, and they should be. And you're going to be coaching them and maybe telling them something awesome, but it might be different than what I'm telling them. And I need the opportunity to coach them. So I'm asking you, don't coach your kid from the stand. You encourage your kid and you let me coach. And if you think I'm not coaching well, which is a likelihood, I want to remind you I'm a volunteer. And our league is always looking for great coaches. And so if you don't think I'm coaching well, you are more than welcome to go get your own team. You know what I'm saying? But in the meantime, would you help me out by not coaching from the stands? You get it. You get what I'm talking about. Here's what's interesting. Physiologically, that was not easy for me to say, audiologically, we actually hear things twice. And it's the second hearing that shows what's important. You see, physiologically, we have an outer ear and we have an inner ear. And there's millisecond gap between the processing of the outer ear and the inner ear. And the gap between the hearing of the outer ear and the inner ear, that's the place where we've trained ourselves to tune out distractions, to ignore much, and to really focus on the little. So when we're in the midst of a crowd of people and we're focused in on one conversation, we're focusing in on that conversation because we know that conversation is important. When we focus on what's being said because we believe it's important in the midst of all the noise, guess what? We don't hear it once. We hear it twice. And maybe that's why Jesus said these words again and again. He who has ears to hear once, let him hear twice. Let me, with the focus of my heart and my mind, pay attention to the reality of what he said, because the reality is the greatest key to hearing God is having a desire to hear him. It's believing that he is actually speaking and wants to speak to us. And I, as a sheep, in all my imperfections and all my weaknesses, can dare hear him. What it means is there's a prayer that was prayed by a prophet of old, and it should become our daily prayer. It's what I'm going to challenge us to begin praying in this season. Amidst all the things we're praying, might we, like Samuel of old, might we pray, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Listening not once, listening twice. I have ears to hear. God, give me grace to hear in my spirit. So let's take a moment right now before we continue on in our service, because we got some great things to be a part of. Let's take a moment and pray. And I'm going to challenge you right where you are. I don't know when you're watching. You may be on Thursday night. You may be on Sunday morning. You may be on Monday night. You may be picking it up some other time that fits your schedule. That's great. I don't care where you are. I want you to pray. And I just want you to pray, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. It's a prayer of desire. It's a prayer of hunger. I have ears to hear, oh God, give me grace to hear. Would you just ask him for that right now? Would you ask him for grace to hear? And maybe ask for grace to believe it's possible. I bet most of us believe it's really an impossibility for me to hear God. What a tactic of the enemy. I pray, oh God, that you would break through, that you would silence the enemy right now who would tell us that we cannot hear you. We are your children positioned before you. Would you ask for grace to hear God in better and better ways? Would you ask for the courage and the grace, sometimes even the discipline and the desire to learn to mature in our ability to hear him? That's what I want. And this season is reminding me just how much I need it. Oh God, give us grace. Oh God, give us grace. We ask as a people, oh God, give us grace to listen. You say your sheep know your voice. They don't follow a stranger. They won't be distracted by the stranger. They won't be run awry by a stranger because they don't know a stranger's voice. But we know your voice. So let us so know your voice, oh God. Let us so know your heart and your way that we would see your grace and we would see your mercy. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, we ask. More than that, we declare you are speaking. Give us grace to listen more than we ever have. An ability to listen more than we ever have, I ask in Jesus' name. And it's his incredible name. And where everybody is right now, they said, amen. Okay, church, we're not done yet. Because we want to celebrate. We want to declare. In the midst of what we're doing, we want to declare his victory. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to show you the testimony of a couple of young people who simply said, I can't wait to take my next step with Jesus. And so what they actually did is they did their baptism, they filmed it for us, and we're going to show it to you and we're going to celebrate. And it might be in you seeing this, you're convicted as well and say, you know what? I don't need to wait till we get back together physically. I don't need all that kind of stuff. I need to take my next step now. If you need to do that in baptism, then what you can do is go to beltway.org/baptism. We'll help you know all about why and the teaching on baptism and why it's so important. And we'll help you figure out a way to do it. There's lots of ways we can do it. But we're going to celebrate as Daniel and Mary, and I'm sorry, Ellie Kate, made their declaration. And then with our songs, before we go, we're going to celebrate the victory we have in Jesus. So whatever you need to do right now, maybe you need to stand up. And you need to be part of it. Maybe you need to sit up tall. In our children's ministry, we have a thing called the LLP, Listening Learning Position. It's a position of engagement. Maybe you need to take that right now. Maybe you need to kneel. Whatever it is you need to do, let's declare victory together now.
Daniel, have you confessed Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life?
Yes, sir.
Come on. And with the power and help of the Holy Spirit, do you commit to following God for the rest of your life? All right, well, based on that confession of faith, we're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Y'all have your heart for it.
All right, Ellie, have you asked Jesus into your heart? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. And will you commit to follow him forever and ever?
Yes.
All right. Hold your nose. All right. By that confession, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
We declare together, O God, there is only one place to look. There is only one source of hope, one source of peace, one source of life, one source of goodness. We turn our eyes to you, our Father, our Creator, our Shepherd, our Lord and our King. We bow before you, O God, and we declare you are worthy. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our gratitude beyond what we can express, O God. You are worthy. And we together, as part of your church, we together ask, O God, that you would open the eyes of our world that they might see that you alone are worthy. We love you. We need grace, God. We need strength. We need courage. And we trust that you'll give that to us. In this season, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Beltway Park, it's been good to be with you through this means. Like all of us, I look forward to the day where we'll be physically together. But until that day, we can still give praise and honor to our God. He is present even where two or three gather. So it's been a joy to be with you. We have our prayer partners. As we normally do at our services, they're just on the phone. And when I finish up here, there'll be a phone number you can call. If you're not during one of our live times, you can text the number that's available. And we'll get one of our pastors, our prayer partners, to call you. Just some specific things this week we feel like we're supposed to pray into. If you're struggling with vertigo, we feel like there's healing to be found there. Feel like a person with the initials MH that you need to call on for prayer. The Lord's going to show you something there, MH. Someone experiencing confusion and you don't know where you can turn to. Probably a lot of us, we can get prayer for that. Someone who has a painful right hip, we want to pray there. Someone feeling like the dream they were starting to step into before this season of COVID-19 and you're fearful it won't come to pass now, we want to pray there. Someone who felt their heart break this week over something, don't know if it's associated with the virus, probably not. We want to pray with you. If there's any other prayer needs that you have, anything we can join in with you, would you call in? Would you let us walk together? Remember, Beltway Park, we are committed to being carriers of hope in this season. We want to care for each other and love each other well. Make sure you stay in contact with your group. Make sure you're interacting with people. Make sure you're checking on people. We want to serve people. We're finding all sorts of ways we can serve. Just jump in with us. And man, we want to be generous. We want to give and we want to make a difference. And so let us be a people who do just that. Let us continue by the grace of God to carry hope into this world. So if you don't mind, right where you are in your homes, if you're in a vehicle maybe and you're not driving, whatever you do, I want you to put your hands out open in front of you. And let's receive the blessings of the Lord so that we can be a blessing to the world. Father, I ask that you would bless us and keep us your people. Make your face shine upon us and be gracious to us. Turn your countenance towards us and grant us your peace. I ask, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, Prince of Peace. Amen.
Amen. The whole thought of God speaking to us is just, it's exciting. I'm so excited that we're going to spend the next few weeks hearing all the different ways that God speaks to us. Right now, if you're watching on one of our live services, we would love for you to call in for prayer. Pastor David just talked about some prayer words that we have, but it doesn't have to be one of those. It can be anything at all going on in your world that we would love. We would love to get the chance to just pray for you. You can call the number 325-704-5171. Once again, that number is 325-704-5171. Or if you don't want to call in, you can actually text in. There's some information on the screen on how you can do that, and we'll have somebody reach out to you this week. We would love to be interceding for you. Man, this season is weird. It's odd. I don't love everything about it, but I do love that we're still getting the chance to do church together. I'm honored that you're here. We can't wait for next week. So y'all have a great week.